Shalom, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well. The plan really for the next 9 days and this year is to try and cover as much ground as possible in the study of Pirkei Avot. I'll be learning Pirkei Avot and teaching primarily with the classical commentaries, the Rav Bar Tanura, the Rambam, and also the Tiferet Yisrael. So if you're looking to follow along, I'll be referencing primarily those three commentaries as we go through Pirkei Avot. Just to provide some context, Pirkei Avot begins in a very unique fashion. Pirkei Avot starts off by saying, Moshe kibel Torah misinai, u'mashal Yoshua v'Yoshua zekanim, zekanim l'nevi'im, v'nevi'im masrul anshe knesset hagdola. So if you think about the nature of Masechet Avot, especially in the context of the larger Tanaitic corpus, it's obvious that there's something different about Pirkei Avot when you contrast it with other Masechtot. Other Masechtot are much more legal in terms of the way they're formulated. They deal with the laws of Bracha, they deal with the laws of Shabbos, they deal with the laws of Pesach. Whereas Pirkei Avot, by its nature, doesn't deal specifically with detailed regulations related to specific ritual norms, but talks more broadly about sort of general character traits. And one of the things that the Tiferet Yisrael points out here is it's really important for the Mishnah to root those directives in the revelation at Sinai. Because a person could think to himself in theory, right, that it's sufficient, lahashlamat nafsho shi'asok b'torah v'kaimena. That a person could think that it's sufficient to be an engaged Jew to be deeply invested in the ritual cycle of the Jewish calendar and daily observance, and think that sort of ethics are a nice add-on, but not fundamental. And therefore, the Mishnah begins by saying, Moshe kibel Torah misinai, right, to teach you that these laws that we're going to talk about in the context of Pirkei Avot, they're not arbitrary, but they're actually fundamental to what it means to be a Jew. They're so fundamental that elsewhere we have a principle in rabbinic literature called Derech Eretz Kadma LaTorah, that they actually serve as a precursor, that the ethical foundations of living are actually the foundation of ritual life. And therefore, the Mishnah begins here by saying, Moshe kibel Torah misinai, to remind us of that point. Tiferet Yisrael points out another interesting observation, which is that the Mishnah Dafka says, Moshe kibel Torah misinai. Right? You could have imagined that the Mishnah would have said, Moshe kibel Torah mi Hashem. So the question is, why does it specify Sinai? So Tiferet Yisrael makes an interesting observation here, which is that the metaphor of Sinai is a metaphor of humility. According to the Midrashic account, you have a sense that Sinai is sort of the smallest of all mountains. And therefore it makes sense that Moshe, who himself is the Anav Mikol Adam, he's somebody who reflects deep, profound humility, is somebody who's able to sort of receive the Torah from a mountain which very much symbolizes that quality. So again, the first 2 points of the Mishnah are A, the centrality of ethics, and B, being mindful of the fact that sort of the foundation of all ethical living is a general sense of being humble and sort of navigating ourselves towards a life of humility. The Mishnah continues with the chain of tradition. It says that the laws were passed down from Yoshua, Zekanim, Zekanim and Nevi'im, Masru al Anshe Knesset HaGdolah. And then it says something interesting. It says, Haim Amru Shloshad Dvarim. Right, these people, these great men of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, said three specific things. They said, Heve mitunin badin, should be careful in judgment. Vehamidu tamidim harbe, should have many students. Veasu siag la Torah, you should make a fence around the Torah. Now, as the Rambam points out in his Hakdama to Pirkei Avot, that there are quite a few directives listed in the context of Pirkei Avot that are geared specifically to judges. And it's an interesting question why that is. But irrespective of how we answer that question, I think it's clear that the messaging here may be originally intended for sort of judges and the Batei Din, but it obviously has implications for all of us as ordinary Jews, even though we don't function in the context of the judicial system. So for example, the first thing that the Mishnah says is, Have mitunim badin. Right, that you should be careful in judgment. Look, for example, at the Bar Tanura, he explains as follows: Im ba din lifanecha pam b'shtayim b'shalosh lo tomar din zekfar ba lifanai b'shaniti b'shilashti bo, elahave mitunim. Klomar mamtinim kodem shetifsuku hadin. So the bartender says that basically, when a case comes before a judge, you shouldn't say that I've seen this a few times, I'm familiar with the details, I'm ready to move on. But rather, he should be mindful of the fact that every case in a certain sense is new. And he has to perpetually provide an open mind when hearing new information, even if he thinks he had heard it prior. So I think the message is also clear for us in terms of our own engagement with making judgments, that obviously we encounter things regularly that we may have seen before. But really, to be open-minded intellectually and spiritually is to sort of not allow our preconceived notions to determine how we're going to engage new data, that we should really experience all information that we receive as if it's the first time we're seeing it. And in that sense, really sort of preserve the sense that maybe we'll judge the case differently given the fact that the circumstances may in fact have changed. Second model the Mishnah advocates is to hamidu tamidim harbe. You should have many students. So again, the bartender here points out that this is a machlokas already in the time of the Mishnah about who we should be teaching Torah to. Rabbi Gamliel is more extreme in terms of his educational approach, and he says kol tamid shein tocho kibaro al yachnis lebeit hamidrash. Right? He says that basically anybody who we have not tested and found that he's somebody who's A, capable of learning, but beyond his capacity to learn, somebody who wants to learn, wants to engage in learning. So only those types of students should be allowed in the Beit Midrash. And the bartender points out here that the Mishnah's advocate an alternative view, which says, Kamash Malan Shemelabdin Torah L'Kol Adam, Ve'in Tzarech L'Vdok Acharav. Right? That basically, you teach Torah to anybody, and you don't have to sort of do a lot of research to make sure that his motives are pure. There's one caveat here. The bartender says, U'bivad Shelo Yeyadua If you know somebody who's, let's say, extremely cynical and not really interested at all in terms of what Torah has to offer, so that may be a caveat. But the general messaging here of the Torah is that the general message here of the Mishnah is that we should be very cautious in terms of being judgmental of a person's motive when they want to come to study. Right? That if we believe in the power of Torah learning to be transformative, so even if a student coming into the Beit Midrash is by no means ideal in terms of his motivation, so we shouldn't push that student away, right? That in general, in terms of how we interact with people, that we should be suspect, and we shouldn't be overly suspect in questioning people's motivations in various areas of life. And the third part of the mission that says, asusiag l'Torah, right? That you're supposed to basically create a fence around the Torah. And again, the Bartanura articulates it here that he says, to geder, right? Shelo yavoli de ligabi isur Torah, right? That, again, you don't want to come close to the possibility of violating a prohibition. As a result, you're supposed to be extra cautious in terms of putting up fences to the Torah. Now, oftentimes it's not that easy to relate to the idea of putting a fence around the Torah. I think oftentimes people feel that, you know, if the Torah says one thing, why are we going beyond the letter of the law? So I think here the Mishnah is getting at something really fundamental about the way in which we should relate to biblical prohibitions, right? That if we sort of really believe that biblical prohibitions are violations of fundamental truths, they reflect compromising our values as people, then obviously it makes sense that we should sort of stay as far away from that as possible, right? If we think that Torah laws are simply, you know, nice sort of regulations that provide cultural context to our lives, so obviously it makes sense to say, wait a second, why would we go beyond that? Once you realize that the nature of Torah prohibitions is that they represent something fundamental, and therefore violating that fundamental principle would imply that we're sort of being relatively negligent when it comes to our understanding of what Torah principles are about. So it makes sense that we don't even want to come close to that. To use a metaphor, if you have like an atom bomb, so obviously don't get close to the bomb, right? You want to stay as far away from the bomb as possible because you understand sort of how dangerous the bomb can be. So in a spiritual sense, in a theological sense, it's the same idea, that if you really think that violating prohibition sort of undermines a value-centric posture, then obviously you want to stay as far away from that as possible, and you want to sort of put up fences to minimize the possibility that actually that violation may become part of your life. So again, that's Mishnah Aleph Aleph Pirkei Avot, and shkoyach to everybody who's listening and learning during this difficult time, and I'll be sending out Mishnah Bet, hopefully in a little bit. Shkoyach.